light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat with your host, Mitch Carmody. And we are thrilled today. Mitch is in the studio and he's brought along Barb Carmody. Hello to you, Barb. And also, we want to welcome to KDWA Mark and Carolyn Woomer. And they are here to tell us about their son, Jed, and some other wonderful organizations like Punt that they have been involved in. But first of all, great to see you, Mitch. How
good
are things?
Good to see you, Mo. Wonderful. Things are great.
Good. Mitch, tell us about some of the work that you've been doing lately. Do you have any trips on the docket?
Yes, I do. I got actually going to Puerto Rico.
We say Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. You know, we have friends down there, and since we made reservations, the earthquakes have been happening. So I might even do some sort of workshop down there. We were going to go on vacation, but our friends live in that quake area. So.
Oh dear.
Then I'm going to again Buffalo area again in the spring. And our guests are from Tonawanda, in the Buffalo area. That it's interesting. We talk about collateral blessings. I've talked about collateral blessings on the show before.
What is that, please, for people that don't know?
In your grief, when you have a loss in your life, there are collateral damages and collateral blessings. The collateral damages, if you may get a divorce, you may lose your house, you may lose your job, you may lose many friends, you may lose relationships with family members. So many things can change in a negative sense, and those are the collateral damages. And the collateral grief is the anniversaries, the weddings, the angel day, the birthdays that you grieve all over again when you miss one of those. Every year there's another trigger to slam you down. And so those are that will continue. You'll have collateral damage or grief for the rest of your life whenever their birthday comes up, whenever the angel day comes up. But then the collateral blessings are the things that come into your life that follow after the loss. And like the Punt Foundation that I became involved with it. It's interesting how everything kind of works together. There's a local gal here that I got to know 10 years ago, a bereaved mom. She lost her daughter. She had written a book, and her cousin lives in Florida, and the book was gone out down there, and she had mentioned my name, something to do with the book. And anyway, her friend had this the J Fund Foundation in Florida, which is very similar to Punt because Punt was kind of modeled after that. So anyway, I spoke down there at the J Fund, and then they told me about the Punt Foundation, that maybe they would need a speaker. And so contacted them, and I went out last year to Buffalo. And Kim, the woman who had initially kind of got that, now she had just, her second daughter has just died. Hopefully I want to have you guys meet her too. But the connection that we have, and so now I'm speaking up at the Punt Foundation, and so I fly out there last year with Barb, and it's at a ski resort, and it's all for parents who have lost children due to cancer. And so that was our son died of cancer 30 years ago. So it was the first time that I really spoke to an audience. I spoke to a lot of grieving audiences, but the first time I spoke to a grieving audience that I wrote my book for. I wrote Letters to My Son because our son died of cancer, and I wanted people to know that are going through the cancer that this is the kind of a journal of what can happen, what happened to us. So not, you know, that things do happen, and so to actually speak to a crowd of the same people on the same page was very exciting. And then we got to meet the Woomers, and it was we were drawn immediately. I mean, we have a lot of people, and you go to a table, and that's how spirit works sometimes, and God works, that you sit down at a table, and you don't know anybody, but you know God placed you at that table for a reason, mm-hmm. because you sat next to a person that just opened up your heart, opened up your life, or whatever, and that's kind of happened with us, and it also helped that in honor of their son, Jed, they offered free cocktails at the beginning of the thing, and I've been to a lot of these And that is social interaction with bereaved parents is, or bereaved people are very, very important. And sometimes having a few drinks will loosen people up to be able to let those tears out that they've been holding back so hard, because it does help. That's why alcohol can become a double-bladed sword in grief, because it does help in a way. And I don't propose, I mean, advertise that, but I mean, it's part of the journey. But it also can take over your life and ruin it for 5 years, like for me, you know, where it just, you know, so there. But collateral blessings are that we met that weekend for 3 days, and they said, "Oh God, our daughter lived in Minnesota before, and we want to come and get a Juicy Lucy." I said, "Well, come on down, you know, come on to Minnesota, go to the mall, go get a Juicy Lucy, and when you're bereaved, you look for something that's going to help you." And they had a taste of what we had. We talked out there, and they said, "We want to come out." And so we did, and we've had a wonderful week doing so many different things, and now we're going to be going out there again. The universe worked. While they're here, I get a call to come back out to Buffalo for a different organization called Healing Hearts, and they want me to come and speak. And so we're going to be able to go drive out there this time and visit the Woomers and see some of Jed's life and where he was from, and see Amanda, their daughter. And so that is a collateral blessing that we know that we'll be friends probably for the rest of our life. You know that, because there's so many people that aren't transparent, and that's what we crave, is transparency, people that are totally honest.
And some of the losses, I'm sure, is people that you had friendships with that maybe didn't know how to react to you and Barb, or Mark and Carolyn to you, and it's too hard, in quotes, for them to be around you. So I know that those are losses too.
And it depends on the age of the child, the circle of friends you have. Mm-hmm. Like with the Woomers, I know their son Jed was highly involved in Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, or Cub Scouts Earth and Boy Scouts. And Mark, can you say briefly about how that was for you? Him, I mean, the help that they provided. Did that group of Boy Scouts, and did they come in to help you in your grief?
They didn't necessarily help with the grief, but they came, people who I hadn't seen in years came to Jed's wake. So there were just lines of Boy Scouts that just came all in their full uniforms, because that's what Boy Scouts do.
But that must have been, to see all those uniforms come walking in.
It was special. I mean, it was hard, obviously, because you're in awake at that moment, but it was a sight to see.
Mark, tell us about Jed, please.
Well, Jed, when he was young, he had a problem separating from his mother.
That's fine. What's wrong with that?
And so we ended up getting him involved with Cub Scouts first, and then Boy Scouts. I was a Boy Scout when I was young, and the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts really helped him to come out of his shell, and he really blossomed as a boy and into a young man. He did become an Eagle Scout, which is...
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I was a Boy Scout. I never got that far. But he stuck it out and became an Eagle Scout.
What was his project?
We work with an organization, or a theater group. It's a community theater. And his job, his project, we scraped and painted all the bottom metal and the doors and things like that. They had it sided, but unfortunately, when you side things, you don't finish the doors and things like that. So he painted the doors, and we had so many people show up that we had to actually find more work for the people who came to help. So we ended up doing more than anticipated.
How nice.
Which was really nice, yeah.
Oh, how nice. So besides loving his mommy, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
And you know what? Don't you think, Mitch, let's go back to the whole God thing. You have those memories, Carolyn, that, you know, of a boy that loved his mom, mm-hmm. because maybe he somehow knew he wasn't going to be here on the earth all that long. So there's nothing wrong with it. You have more memories probably than most.
Oh, we have memories. Boy.
How beautiful.
Yeah, we, and just getting back to Mark with the Boy Scouts, that for me, the way Boy Scouts helped is we don't have any regrets. We have no regrets of how we raised our children and how we raised Jed. The precious, irreplaceable, priceless memories that they made, the experiences they had together. I mean, Jed and Mark were best buddies, our best buddies. And without Boy Scouts, I don't know. I don't know that what I think they still would have had a wonderful relationship, but just the things that they got to do, just the two of them.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was a Boy Scout, my father was my scoutmaster, so every time we would go camping, I would go camping with my dad. So I made sure that when Jed became a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, Boy Scout, that I was always going to go camping with him. So he and I had that special time where we would just two of us would go camping together, and Mom and Sis would stay home.
Oh, we wouldn't stay home. We would do fun things. Yeah. Yeah, we went to Vegas once. We went on a cruise once. Yeah, or we would just go camping ourselves. But, yeah, it was nice for them to have their time, the girls to have our time. And now, and I don't think parents necessarily realize while they're raising their kids what moments they're given to just build those precious memories that someday may be a treasure. The only thing you have left.
You probably didn't realize it at the moment how precious those memories mm-hmm. are.
True.
Isn't it too bad that we don't live in the present and mm-hmm. look at each day as such a gift?
So now what are you doing? Like now, because you're not camping with Jed and you're not doing that activity together, what other things are you doing? Like the Red for Jed, or what's that about? Because I want to talk a little bit about turning loss to a legacy. What have you done that has turned this into a legacy for Jed?
Well, I would say it started with those first days after Jed died, and we knew we wanted to do the scholarship for him, and we just wrote out of our pathetic little checking account a check. And at some point that next year, over the next few months, someone in our town got in touch with us. We've had a lot of support from our town. It's been incredible. And a man joined up with us. His name's Rick Oates, and he is the chaplain for the fire department in our town. And he started to put together a blood drive every January. And with that, we would pair a scholarship fundraiser, and it's called Red for Jed Fund. So that mainly goes to the funds we raise, mainly go towards the scholarship. But there's also times that I'll get in touch with Rick and say, is it okay if I write a $100 check to, you know, this family or for this organization, things like that. It's still very small because I don't want it to become something really big where there's all of a sudden this board and whatever. So for now, that's what we do. I also do speak for the Punt Foundation a lot. I get to share Jed's story and how the Punt Foundation affected our lives. And that that's making a difference on a bigger scale because we are able to reach Gwen, who is the director of the Punt Foundation, has a lot of connections, and so she can bring me into places where I get to tell my story about Jed, which is my favorite thing in the world to do. When you lose your child, you don't want to stop talking about them, but you're not always in a situation where people are necessarily wanting to hear about your dead child. So when I speak for Punt, I get the joy of being able to talk about my boy and raise funds for a great organization. So I think those are the two things that we do. There is also in our town a bench in Jed's memory, by his favorite fishing spot, and there's a memorial garden. So people now know that there's a place there that they can bring up a stone or a little statue or something for people that they have lost also. So that's a nice way to spread it to the community also.
How is your daughter doing with her grief?
Ooh.
That was going to be my question. How, Amanda?
Wow. It's hard to tell, quite honestly, because she is a fierce little ninja. That's really how...
Is she an older sister or younger?
She's an older sister.
Okay. And historically, she was in Mongolia. I mean, tell them a little bit.
Yeah,
but it was difficult, too. There's other...
Mm-hmm. She was living in China, teaching, and they just... Her and this... her fiancé, who she met in China, a boy from Minnesota, actually, from Rochester, a man. And so they were coming home to start planning their wedding for the next summer. And literally the next day, after they got home and Adam got to meet all of us, we found out that Jed had a mass in his chest. So unfortunately, that was his entire time of knowing us. But she was teaching overseas.
I think that's a blessing. I mean, I do think that was probably the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder. I wonder.
We start to look at that, we kind of go backwards, and you reflect back on the things that have happened and say, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Was there some God wisdom in this? You know, that we've talked about a lot on the show, where we find out, there's something that, did God kind of orchestrate this? You know,
I'm grateful that Adam got to know him before he...
Yes.
He did get to know Jed, though. Not for very long, and it does bother him a lot that, you know, this little brother he would have here isn't here. But we keep Jed very present in our lives. We talk about him all the time, and we talk about him in the present tense, and his pictures are all over, and, you know, he has a tattoo of Jed on his arm, and we just keep him... You know, I bring his picture with me when I go on vacation and stuff. So that
we had Jedediah coffee this morning.
I like it.
Yes, we did. Yes, and they got us some to take home. But so Amanda has, she is doing better now. It was very difficult for her in the beginning. She lost her buddy. She's almost 6 years older, so she was like his second mama. And she... just came home. He wanted her to go back to China. They were just home visiting. And he said to her the end of August, he had started chemo August 8th. By the end of August, she was supposed to have gone back already. And he said to her, you need to go back to China and be with Adam, because if you don't, I'm going to think I'm dying. So to honor his request, she went back to China, and she hated having to go back. But then come December, when we realized things were a lot more serious than we thought, we flew her home, and then she stayed with us through Jed's passing. And we had Adam come home at some point for a little visit, and then he went back. And so she holds everything in. She creates. She draws. She blogs. She writes.
So she's creating legacies all the time?
She really is, yes. And she's written a book that really an interest of hers, which is paranormal research and things like that, really was birthed because of her desire to know that her brother is okay. So that's kind of how she has focused, was through creating art, writing, things like that. She even wrote a play about him. So there's a lot of things.
She wrote a play about Jed?
Yes.
Has that been produced yet?
No, it's just kind of a very private thing. It was produced in a table reading just because she wanted to hear her words read aloud. It's a very private thing, so she doesn't know if she wants it to be produced necessarily, but it's called Me, Myself, and Dad. I don't know if that's something she'll ever do something with because it is such a private thing, but yeah, she just keeps creating and writing and...
Well, we are so grateful you came in today to share your story. And thank you. Mitch, thank you as always. We want to thank all of our guests. We want to especially thank Mitch Carmody for all the good work that he does through Grief Chat and his speaking. And we also want to thank Mark and Carolyn Woomer, Safe Travels Home. And we also want to thank the very, very untalkative today, Barb Carmody, for coming in. Barb, just because we didn't have an extra mic doesn't mean you couldn't have said. Anyway, great to see all of you, and continued blessings and collateral blessings in all of this. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth's Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds